Hey, I want to talk to you about praise and worship here this morning. I know we just went through this, and this will be a great time to talk about this. You know, when I was studying this week, one of the things that I remembered was some years ago. I used to walk a lot. I still enjoy walking. I don't do as much as I used to, but at one time I would take out, you know, I'd walk for 3, 4, 5 miles even, and I used to have this little iPod that I would take with me, and I had some really cool music on there, and you know, I'd put in some put some headphones on or earbuds in or whatever, and I'd take off walking. And you know, one of the neat things about when you're praising the Lord and singing, if you just sit beside somebody that knows how to sing, you know, and just kind of pretend like you're singing, people think, man, he sounds pretty good, right? That's kind of what I do in worship. I'm not known for my stellar voice, and so I'd go out walking, and I used to love, still do, Stephen Curtis Chapman. I used to listen to him a lot when I'd walk. Matter of fact, you know, he's coming to town. He's doing an acoustic concert here sometime around Christmas, and it's going to be at the Grace Bible Church. I got tickets already, so you can get them online now. They're for sale. Anyway, I was listening to Stephen Curtis Chapman, and I'd walked way outside of town. It's going down this kind of deserted road, and you know, I had my things on, and I was listening. And man, I was just singing. You know, I was just kind of pretending like I was Stephen Curtis Chapman. He never sounded so good. And, you know, I'm singing and I'm getting into it and everything. And all of a sudden I realize that I'm close to this house. And when I look up, I look over and there's this lady on the porch. And she's laughing. I mean, she's not just laughing. She's laughing, just really belly laughing. And all of a sudden, you know, I was instantly embarrassed, you know, because she was hearing me. So, you know, when people laugh at you when they hear your voice, that's something. You know, first service is really neat. We had a couple of young people sing, and the little girl that sang, her grandparents came and her mother, and I didn't know them. And they were sitting right there on the second row, and I went over and introduced myself before the service started. And I said, hey, how'd you guys end up here today? And they said, you know, our daughter and our granddaughter is singing this morning. I said, that's wonderful. I said, you know what? Now here I thought you guys had heard that I was this great preacher, and you came to hear me preach this morning. And the gentleman said, no. So you guys are really in terrible shape if they laugh at me when I'm singing and they laugh at me when I talk about preaching. So I don't know what else there is to do around here. But you know what? When you think about this idea of singing and worship, you know, one of the things that I think about a lot of times is just how we need to understand that when we are worshiping here, that it's an audience of one. Right? Nobody else, you know, we're singing, we're worshiping God, and we do it for Him. But sometimes our worship, you know what, I need to fix this because I think I put this on wrong, so give me just a second here. I know that's my fault, Sam. Hang on. You know, sometimes when we worship, it's like giving a gift to somebody that we love, and then when they open it, it's empty. You know, think about that. How that would be. You know, if you got your the most special person in your life something wonderful for a gift for Christmas or some other time, an anniversary, and they open it up and it's absolutely empty. What do you think they're going to think? Sometimes I think that's exactly the way God feels with us when He looks down and He sees our worship. Because it should always be about Him. So much of the time we make it even about us. It can be an empty gift. You know, some of the things I think that Jesus would want to undo if He ever came among us again, one of the things would be this idea of hollow worship. So I want you to think about these two words right here. Ceremonial cleanliness. Or ceremonially unclean. What does it mean to be clean ceremonially? See, in the days of Jesus, one of the criticisms that he had for the Pharisees was that they were obsessed with being ceremonially clean. But think about this with me for just a moment. To be clean ceremonially doesn't mean that you're physically clean at all. It just means that you think you're clean or you declare yourself clean. But it doesn't have anything to do with really being clean. Like yesterday, I was out on the picnic with my daughter and with the grandkids and Arlene, and I had this really bag of chips that I'd bought. You know how expensive those things are? Man, you got a big bag of chips. You got some money piled up in that. So I had a bag of these chips, and we had kind of eaten on them a little bit, and I laid them over on the picnic table, and then for some reason, they fell over, and they dumped out onto the ground. Okay? I got down, and I checked the situation out, and every chip that was only touching another chip and not touching the ground, I saved. I'm not paying $10, $12 for a bag of chips and then not going to enjoy them. And right away, you know, Arlene and my daughter are like, "You're not going to eat those now." I said, "You watch me." So Jack pulled up, you know, 5-year-old, they don't care about clean either. He pulled up a chair and he and I had at it with the chips. Now here's the thing. You see, some people, they think about being clean. They want you to be clean. But it's not necessarily about really being clean. The Pharisees were obsessed with this. Let me show you a passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 and 2. I think this is so interesting. It says, some Pharisees and teachers of the law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. And they asked him a question. Look at this question that they asked Jesus. It said, "Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition?" What was the age-old tradition? "They ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat." They were obsessed with it. And here Jesus is talking to them about, hey, you know what? You're interested in things being clean, but are they really clean? I think that's a good question to ask when it comes to our worship. I mean, do we really worship? Or do we just look like we worship? You know, the Pharisees, you know, animals could be clean, food could be clean or unclean, things could be clean or unclean. You ever thought about this? That unclean is contagious, transferable. But cleanliness isn't. I mean, if you bring something in that is unclean, it can cause other things around it to become unclean. But if you bring clean in, it doesn't affect the other things that are around it, making them clean. They have to be clean as well. And I think this really applies to worship. Because we seem to think that there's so much about, you know, what we worship, how we worship, the songs we sing, the instruments we use. But certainly the most important thing in worship is our heart. Think about it. The Pharisees could declare something clean or unclean without ever a thought of whether or not it was really, really clean. You see, in our day and time, we are so obsessed like they were with externals. Matthew says later in this same passage in verse 7, he says, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain." So I think it's a good question for all of us to ask. You know, our lips, our bodies, we're here in the presence of God today, but where's our heart? Aren't you glad that people can't read your mind or your thoughts or your heart? You know, I'm sure that if you could, you know, if every day, there, every moment that you've ever seen me in church here, in work, I'm glad you couldn't read my mind to know what I was thinking about, where my mind was, where my heart was. But I know what else. You're glad that I can't see that in you. Because so many times we just let things take our minds and our hearts away. And what's left is empty, hollow, even vain worship. Sometimes we praise God externally, but our hearts are far, far away. You see, here's what I know. Worship isn't about the style of music. It's about a condition of your heart. What is the condition of your heart? Worship isn't about a style. It's about a condition of your heart. Christianity isn't a hobby. It's not an interest. It's not a part of your life. It is your life. It should be about every part of your life. Worship isn't limited to the songs we sing. It's also about the life that we live. Here's what I want to do, and this is going to be, I think this is interesting. I want you to think about these two words. And I want you to keep these words in your mind as we talk about worship today. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to share with you some passages of scriptures, some thoughts on worship, and then I'm going to ask you, is this sometimes for you? Or is this every day? You know, is this occasionally? Or is this always? Is this something that you do intentionally, purposefully, at given times? Or is it something that's just a part of you, that when you are awake, when you are conscious, this is who you are? All right, let me start here with Psalm 95. All the Psalms have a lot to say about worship. They really do. And Psalm 95 says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Sometimes or daily. You know, I was in a group of pastors not too long ago, and we were praying in a circle together, and everybody was just had their heads bowed, and they were praying, and I noticed in my peripheral vision, a few down from me, one of the pastors got down on his knees. I thought, that's kind of cool. And then all of a sudden, one by one, around the circle, other pastors started to get down on their knees to pray. I thought it was really neat that he encouraged that kind of posture. What is kneeling? Kneeling is a reverent kind of submission to God, where you're saying, God, you are holy. Now, it's interesting because the Bible says that one day, every knee will what? Will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day. And sometimes this is the posture that we take in prayer. Now let me just ask you, when people do this spontaneously, does it make you uncomfortable? It's amazing because we are so different in how we worship and even why we worship and how we're captivated by worship. And a lot of times other people's ease of worship can make us uncomfortable. So yes, the Bible says that we can bow in reverence. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing to do. You know, we have such a great group up here that leads us in worship. And, you know, they're so humble sometimes. Sometimes I'll compliment or I'll say something to them, and you can tell it makes them uncomfortable. You know, makes them uncomfortable when you call them out, or when you praise them or something, and they humbly try to defer that kind of attention back to the Lord. I think that, which is a good thing. But think about it. You know, submitting to the Lord means at times you're just driven down to your knees because you are in the presence of the one and holy God. So, bowing. Sometimes, daily. It is sometimes, isn't it? Some people do it. Other people don't. Well, what's most important is that you are bowing in reverence in your heart to Him. Now, let me give you another one. Psalm 63, verse 4. I love this one. David is out in the wilderness. And it says there, I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. That's what David says. You know, in our church here, you know, we're an evangelical, you know, fundamental, traditional kind of background church. Been around a long, long time, and you know, this is something that I think is beautiful. But it's come so hard to some of our people in the church here. Just the ability to raise your hands. I remember some years ago, one of the dear old souls that's now with the Lord called me on Monday. And the secretary said, Pastor John, so-and-so's on the phone, said she really needs to talk to you. I said, okay. So I got on the phone. How are you today? And she says, I'm okay. She said, I got something I need you to do for me. I said, what's that? She said, well, would you help me with this? I said, absolutely. I'll do anything I can to help you. She said, I was in church Sunday, and she said, there was a newer family sitting a couple rows in front of me, and would you please tell them to stop raising their hands because they're distracting me? And I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't do that. You know, can you imagine? Don't get your hands down. What are you doing? You know, I love what Carmen said. You know, the singer Carmen, he always said, listen, when I was in school, if the teacher asked you a question and you knew the answer, you raised your hand. And he said, you know, we're Christians. We know the answer. It's okay to raise your hands. It's not a weird thing. It's a Bible thing. Paul said, lift holy hands up to God. You know, if kneeling is a sign of reverent submission, raising your hands is a sign of victory, right? Remember when you were a kid and you played cops and robbers? What'd you say? You said, stick them up, right? Or if you, luckily this never happened to me, but you know, you get arrested by, what's he say? He says, get your hands up, right? They want to make sure that you are not in possession of any kind of weapon. Sometimes we should feel comfortable in lifting our hands to the Lord in adoration. And you know what? Over the years, I think it's really been kind of cool that our church has gotten more comfortable in that. And I think that is a good thing. Now listen, here, there's a few of you here that maybe have been old timers, you know, been around a long time. Say, yeah, that's right. That does. That makes me really uncomfortable when people do that. Okay? Let me make you really uncomfortable. All right? If you were uncomfortable with that one, how about this one? Psalm 149, verse 3. David says, let us praise his name with dancing. With dancing. Right? Now listen, this is coming from a guy. Did you know that this is a true story? Several years ago, my dear wife, she really wanted to learn to ballroom dance. And I actually bought her and I lessons, 10 lessons with ballroom dancing as a Christmas gift. And I gave it to her, and I told her that every time we'd go to have our lesson, we'd go out and eat. And honey, I'm going to learn to ballroom dance with you. We have the distinction of being one of the only couples in Altoona, Pennsylvania that got kicked out of ballroom dancing. And I'm not really exaggerating very much. You know, I don't have any rhythm in my soul at all. You know, it just don't have it. Matter of fact, you know, you think about old timers. Some years ago, I remember this older lady here at the church. She asked me, and she was so serious, and I wish I'd have taken it more serious. She said, Pastor John, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, have you ever danced in public? And I said, well, yeah, not very well, but yeah, I have. You know, my daughters got married. I danced with them at their wedding. You know, I've been out on excursions and things with my wife, and you know, I've done the little circle shuffle, you know, to a slow song, something like that. But this little lady, when I told her that, yeah, I had, but I hadn't done it very well, I could just tell that she really was disappointed in me. And you know, I know we come from a tradition where something like this would be very unusual, maybe even, you know, out of the norm. But listen, folks, there were times in the Bible when God's people just had to move because of the goodness that they felt from God. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to here today. But listen, if we are this close to the Lord, if we have been set free, if we've been healed, if we've been forgiven, we're going to go through these times where, listen, sometimes we're going to bow in reverence. Sometimes we're going to raise our hands in submission. Sometimes we're just going to be so excited that we're going to want to honor Him in every area of our lives. Sometimes. And then I love this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise." You see, we've been talking about sometimes. Now let's switch and let's talk about all the time. Daily. Our lives should be a sacrifice of praise. We worship Him when we feel Him. We worship Him when we don't. We worship Him when we're joyful. We worship Him when we're low. Our worship, think about this, folks. Our worship isn't based on our circumstances. It's based on His character. And too many times we let our worship be affected by our circumstances. I mean, you've said it. I've said it. Boy, I just don't feel much like worshiping today. But is that really how we should feel? I mean, our worship is going to, our posture is going to take different, we're going to have different postures for different situations in life. But our overall worship should never be affected because it's not about our circumstances. It's about His character. Or how about this one? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." You see, I think we've been wrong when we think about worship being something that we engage in. Or worship being a place that we go. Or worship being something we listen to. Rather than something that we project towards God every moment of every day. Worship isn't just the songs we sing. Life we live is worship. Every day when we get up, we are engaging in an act of worship. And I wonder how many times God looks down and He just knows that our heart isn't in it. That the circumstances overwhelm us. That our mind is somewhere else. That our heart is attached to something else. And our spirit is engaged in some other activity. When in reality, every moment of every day should be an act of worship to Him. You know, I'm sure that you remember seeing this some years ago. These little bracelets were really, really popular some years ago. What would Jesus do? You remember those? I had one. Everybody had one. And it was so cool because when you saw that, you recognized that that person was thinking about, what would Jesus do? But what I want to leave you with here today is this understanding that when Jesus looked at the life of the Pharisees, they thought they had it all right. When in reality, Jesus said, "You're all wrong. Even your worship is in vain. You want to appear to be clean and whole and living. In reality, you're full of dead man's bones. You are not real. You are hypocrites." Because they were all about appearing one way rather than really, really being clean. You may have heard me say, I just, every time I think about this, I go back to a few years ago. I was at the beach and saw this young man, and he had one of these bracelets on. And I knew it had been a while since those were really, really popular. And I looked at him and I said, "Hey, what would Jesus do? I like that." And he looked at the bracelet and he said, "Who wants Jack Daniels?" That's what it was to him. So what is worship to you? Because let me tell you something. If you ever have a critical spirit in worship because of something about the worship, you're not worshiping. Because it's not so much about what you sing, whether it's a 500-year-old hymn or a chorus that was written by Crowder 2 weeks ago. It's not about the songs. It's about the condition of your heart. You know, if Jesus would come among us and change some things about the way we live and the way we serve Him, certainly one of the first things that He would address would be our praise and worship. Why? Because it's all about who God is. Think about that. That's one of the reasons I love some of the new songs, because some of the old songs, the tendency was to sing about God. You know, and I love the old hymns, you know, How Great Thou Art and things like that. They're singing about God. A lot of the new stuff, or most of the new stuff, you're singing to God. And that's what worship is. Who is God? He's our rock and our redeemer. He's our righteousness. God is our deliverer and our defense. He's our shield and our strength and our salvation. He's the bread of life and He's the living water. He's the good shepherd. He's the true vine. He's the way, truth, and life. He's the light of the world, the Lion of Judah, and the Lamb of God. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I think that's why the Bible tells us, great is the Lord, and He is most worthy of our praise. Honor and majesty surround Him. Strength and joy fill His dwelling. Give to the Lord the glory He deserves. Bring your offering and come into His presence. Worship the Lord in all His holy splendor. That's what He encourages us to do. But then as we leave here, we think our worship stops. But no, the Bible says, go and tell all the nations. Tell them what? That the Lord reigns. Let the sea and everything in it shout His praise. 1 Chronicles 16 says this, give thanks to the Lord for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who lives from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people shouted. Guess what they shouted? Amen. And praise the Lord. Guess what the people shouted? They shouted, Amen. Praise the Lord. Your life, my life, should be totally an act of worship to Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank You for this wonderful, wonderful day You've given us. God, we're going to stand to our feet here in just a minute. And with all of that that we just heard, all of that that we just read from Your Word, with all the examples of how the Pharisees got it all wrong, Lord, may we stand to our feet and may we get it right. May it not just be about what we sing or how we sing or who leads us or what instruments are being played, but may this worship of ours be an engagement of our entire body and our entire soul. God, as we lift up our voices and maybe even our hands to You, in Jesus' name we pray.